Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
And you can find them online at our website at harmonybconline.com. So, if you'll pray for me that I'll be able to focus tonight, and my daughter is here with us in the main service instead of in the children's service, so pray that she's not bored tonight. So, alright, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to read, the title of the message this evening is Why Faith Promised Missions. Why Faith Promised Missions. And we'll be reading 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 and then some other scriptures as we go through. But we'll read chapter 9 and verse 7 and then we'll pray. And then we'll look at what the Bible says about this. But the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I do pray for this lady that we spoke to on the phone. I pray that you will help her and get her the help she needs and save her soul. And we do pray that you would bless us and just help us to be of a mind to share your gospel with those who need it and to get the gospel out to the world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So why Faith Promise Missions? By way of introduction this evening, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So, as we have studied this verse before, of course, the context of this is talking about a faith promise offering that was being taken up for the churches of Judea, Jerusalem. They were going through persecution and they were very poor and they needed help. And of course, as we've talked about here, a church cannot operate as it should. It can't reach people as it should if the members don't have food to eat. And so, church at Judea needed help, and Paul had orchestrated this offering. He was taking it up from the church at Corinth, from churches in Ephesus. He was taking it up from a bunch of different churches, and it gives us a pattern for how to raise money for foreign missions. And so, as we look at this verse, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. There are several things to remember about the faith promise offering. Number one, it's not a tithe. This is not talking about tithing. A tithe is 10%. But the Bible says, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So this is not 10% of your income. This is you praying and asking God, what should I give? And then you determining, this is what I'm going to give. And so, it's not a tithe. Number two, it's not mandatory. The Bible says, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this is not something you'll be forced to do. We will, in the coming weeks here, we will be handing out these cards. These are similar to the cards that we hand out for the Annie Armstrong offering and for the Lottie Moon offering. This is just a faith promise card. And what it says is, it's got Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. And then it says, my faith promise for world evangelism. And you can check promised each week, promised each month, or promised my life, which is in case you want to surrender to missions yourself. But you can check one of those things. And then it's got different amounts here. So you check whatever you're comfortable giving. It's got $10, $15, other, $30, $40, $50, and so on and so forth. So we'll be handing these out. But right now, please pray about what you want to give. This is not a pledge. It's not mandatory. You don't have to do it. In fact, we only want you to do it if you want to do it. Now, if you don't do it, you'll miss a blessing. But, and that's the third thing, it'll be a blessing to you. But you don't have to do it because we don't want anybody that's grumbling about doing this. This is not something, there's no place on this card to put your name. So it's not something you're going to fill out. And then if you don't give what you committed to give, we're going to track you down. The only reason that we're doing this is so that we can know how much we're projected to get in for the faith promise on a monthly basis so that we can set a budget for missions. We do this to determine, for instance, if we were to support missionaries at $50 a piece, some of the missionaries that have come here, then if we got in $150 a month in faith promise, then we could support three missionaries. That's how it works. It helps you to set a budget. And so we're going to talk about that in a little while. But first, why should the members of Harmony Baptist Church participate in faith promise giving? The first reason we see from Scripture is that it brings spiritual and temporal blessings. It brings spiritual and temporal blessings. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, what that's saying is that if you sow a little bit, you'll reap a little. And if you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. Now, this is not just talking about gardening. It's using an illustration from farming. But it's talking about this faith promise offering. And right before he tells the people, every man in, as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, he tells them, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So give what you want to. If you don't want to give, don't give. But if you sow a little bit, you'll reap a little bit. And if you sow a lot, you'll reap a lot. And these are both spiritual blessings, as we shall see, and also some temporal blessings as well. Because God's not going to put on your heart to give and then not give you the money to give, you see. And so God will help you with that. I had somebody this morning tell me a story. I don't know if they'd want their names mentioned, so I won't mention their names, but they told me a story about how 20 years ago they were burdened to give to a Christian radio station. And the Lord burdened them to do this. And so they started giving, and the first year I believe they gave $10 a month to support it, and it was only a year's commitment, but the next year they figured they should give more. So they gave $20 a month, and it kept increasing. But the strange thing was, is that as their giving kept increasing, the Lord also increased their income. And so by the time it was over, they were actually bringing in twice as much money as they had been when they started through their income. So you see, God will give you. He doesn't put on your heart to give and then not bless you for doing it and give you the resources to do it. So this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So Jesus Christ says, given it shall be given to you, but he doesn't just say it'll be given, but this is how God gives. God gives with good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. You see, God doesn't just give you enough for you, but he gives it so that there's an overflow, so that you have enough for you and to give to others. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." So God promises, if you give unto the Lord of your substance and the first fruits of all your increase, your barns will be filled with plenty and your presses shall burst out with new wine. And that's not just talking about spiritual blessings. That's talking about some temporal blessings as well. And this is not prosperity preaching. This is Bible preaching. Prosperity preaching is the belief that if you have a need, sow a seed. There was some crazy person on the television that used to say that if you have a need, sow a seed. And so they would say, well, if you have a need, and you don't have, if you've got a bill coming up for $500 and you don't have $500, send me all the money you have and God will give you $500. Now that's nuts. That's crazy. But the teaching that God will bless you both spiritually and even economically is a biblical teaching, and that comes in response to giving. So honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In Philippians 4:17, Paul said he was talking to the Philippians about giving, and he said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, God can bless us with spiritual blessings such as fruit that abounds to our account. Now, how does that work? Well, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on and so forth. But the fruits of a Christian are another Christian. And so, for instance, an apple tree brings forth apples, right? A peach tree brings forth peaches. A Christian tree brings forth nuts. No, it brings forth other Christians. And so, Paul said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, Paul's out there trying to win people to Jesus Christ, and he doesn't have enough money to travel to where he's going and to buy food for himself and to support the team that he's working with. And the church at Philippi sends him money. Do you think that the people that sent Paul money through this offering at the church at Philippi, do you think God's going to ignore their needs or ignore them? And do you think that when Paul wins a soul, if what they sent him enabled him to win that soul, do you think that the fruit's just going to be on Paul's account, or do you think it might pass down to the people that sent him the support? And so, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Not just that may be on your account, but may abound to your account. So, faith promise offering brings spiritual and temporal blessings. Number two, it helps the church to fulfill the Great Commission. It helps the church to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, I'm going to read probably the most popular giving of the Great Commission. It's given in all the Gospels as well as in the book of Acts. But in Matthew 28:18-20, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So this is the Great Commission. Now, it is impossible for any one church to go to all the world. We are just a small church. We cannot go to every single nation and take the gospel to every nation. Yet, through faith promise giving, we can support missionaries who are going out and getting the gospel all across the world. And Jesus Christ commanded the church. He commanded his disciples, which became the church. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So we know we have authority to do this. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, the Bible doesn't say, go ye therefore and just teach one city, or go ye therefore and teach a county, or go ye therefore and teach one group of people. Go ye therefore and teach white people. Go ye therefore and teach black people. Go ye therefore and teach Hispanic people. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So we have a responsibility to teach or to make disciples of all nations. But how can we do that? Well, we do that through reaching our own sphere of influence, our own community, and evangelizing in this area. But we also do that through faith promise missions. Now, eventually, God may call somebody from this church to go overseas as a missionary. I hope he does. Probably a young person that might come in here. But God will call somebody to do that. But in the meantime, we can get involved. If we can't go, we can give. And so that's a part of getting the gospel around the world. And it helps the church to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, Philippians, by the way, let me just say this before we move on. Jesus said, when you're doing this, when you're fulfilling the Great Commission, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, if you want Ichabod to be written on a church and the Spirit of God to depart and the church to shrivel up and die, quit getting the gospel around the world. The moment a church turns inward and it's only worried about its community and it just says, well, we don't have the resource, we don't have the ability to reach the world, we're not going to even worry about the world, then the church has ceased to fulfill the Great Commission. And then what purpose is there for the church anymore? It's become a social club. And so Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so the faith promise offering helps us to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, Philippians 4, 14 through 16 gives us an idea of how this worked. And if you look at these, let's just read the verses. So the Bible says in Philippians 4:14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. That's Paul talking to the church, and he's saying, you've done well communicating with my affliction. I was having some issues. I had some needs, and you helped me. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So Paul went out, he was going to take the gospel into Macedonia, there was no church that helped him, except for these churches in Philippi. And so they sent him resources, they helped to meet his needs, and they helped him to forward the gospel, to get the gospel out. And so this is how it worked in the early New Testament church. A missionary, the Apostle Paul, I know he's an apostle, he's doing the work of a missionary, so he comes by the church, he talks to them, and they help him, and they start to support him, and they send him support even when he's far off and he's doing his work. They send him support, and it helps him to do what he's called to do. And that's not just something that happened in the New Testament, but that's the same way it works today. It's a biblical thing. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. So the faith promise offering, it brings spiritual and temporal blessings. It helps the church to fulfill the Great Commission. Number three, it will help the church financially. It will help the church financially. Let's read these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 through 11. We talked about these this morning. But the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for whose food?
Your food.
So God's going to take care of you. Now, he's writing to the church. God's going to help the church because they're giving in this faith promise offering. God's going to give them food to eat because they're helping the people in Jerusalem that don't have food to eat. And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which was their grace giving. being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgivings to God. Thanksgiving to God. So you see how that faith, promise, giving blesses the church. It blesses the church and it helps the church, and it even makes the church prosperous. Harmony Baptist Church, I put some symbols up here, some things up here to symbolize our budget. So Harmony Baptist Church budget for 2019 is supported by tithes and offerings, the tithes and offerings of God's people. Now let's suppose that we didn't do faith promise giving and we just took our missions from the budget of the church. What does it do? It reduces the budget of the church. The church has to pay light bills. It has to pay the water bill. It has to pay for insurance. It has to pay preacher. Yeah, that's a good thing. I like to eat. Has to pay for outreach materials. We have a lot of expenses at the church that have to be covered. Now, there's nothing wrong with a church taking from its general budget and supporting missions, and some churches choose to do that, but I'm going to show you how faith promise missions can actually help the budget of the church. Now, here is, down at the bottom, the Harmony Baptist Church budget for 2019 supported by tithes and offerings, and up the top, you see faith promise missions offering. It's not part of the tithes and offerings given to the church. It is a commitment. Somebody says, I'll give 10 a week, 25 a week. What you're doing is giving specifically to faith promise missions. All right, this is a separate thing. Now, Carol can figure out how to make it all work. That's not what we're talking about here. She's a genius with that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is the faith promise offering is not your tithes. Your tithes, your offerings, however you choose to give to support the work of Harmony, are something that you continue to give. This is over and above that. This is something on top of that. This is not, well, I quit tithing so I can give to missions. This is, I continue to tithe, I continue to give, however you choose to do that, to support the church. And then over and above that, I'm making a commitment to faith promise missions. Now, then the missions money is not taken out of the general budget, but it is taken from the faith promise missions commitments. And therefore, it does not touch the tithes and offerings in the general budget of the church. Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? Are you confused?
No, I just want to know why the whole green doesn't disappear. Because it's faith promise, so we don't give it all.
The whole green does not disappear because I'm trying to make it look like Pac-Man. There's yes, we do give it all every month, unless we have some left over that we didn't know about. Because sometimes that, I have seen that happen. That's actually a good question. It has happened, like at, I know one church that gets in commitments every year and they then budget how many missionaries they're going to support based on those commitments, and then they end up getting in more than they were actually got in commitments. I don't know how that works, but it happens. And so that can happen. So the faith promise offering brings spiritual and temporal blessings. It helps the church to fulfill the Great Commission. It will help the church financially. And number four, it allows the church to have a personal connection to missionaries. One of the missionaries we had here brought this up, I believe on Tuesday night, but it allows the church to have a personal connection to missionaries. Notice the way Paul speaks to this church in Philippians 4:16 or 4:14 through 16. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. All right? Now, this church knew what Paul needed. Paul knew people at the church. There was a connection there. Now, you cannot get that connection through just sending money off to something and you never see a missionary. You don't get that connection. And by the way, as I've said here before, we're not talking about the missionaries that are part of the Southern Baptist Foreign Missions Program and Home Missions Program have to have the support of the Annie Armstrong and the Lottie Moon offering to survive. So we're not talking about doing away with that. What we're talking about is adding faith promise. We're already doing that by faith promise, but we're talking about adding a monthly faith promise program on so that we can take on some individual missionaries that we know. Missionaries that actually come to the church that we know, that we talk to. The way the, I don't know if I should, let's see, it's 7:06. I don't have time to get into that tonight. I'll talk to you about, do y'all care to stay here or do you want to go home? You want to go home. Okay, we're going to go on. So I've got another illustration here. So let's say that we give $50 a month to a missionary. Now, the reason I say that doesn't sound like a lot, but the average church gives between 50, 75, I think is average now, on up. They may give over 100. But let's say that we give $50 a month to a missionary, and let's say that we send that $50 to South Africa to the Underwood family. The Underwood family came to our missions conference on Monday night, and the Underwood family is from Dalton, Georgia. So they're from this area. They've been working in South Africa. And so they have raised their support, and they continue to, they're on furlough right now trying to get back. So let's say that we were to give $50 a month, all right? $50 a month in South African money. The South Africans are on the rand, so the $50 a month equals 714 rand. All right? Now, let's say that Stephen needs to do a hospital visit. So let's say that he goes himself and he takes somebody that he's discipling in the church on the hospital visit. Let's say that while he's doing that visit in South Africa on the mission field, a hospital visit, he and this guy he's discipling stop and get some food on the way, which would be a common thing you'd do. Now, let's say they go to McDonald's, get a quarter pounder with cheese value meal, which would cost 47 rand. And if you multiply that times two people, that would be 94 rand. So he spent 94 rand. That leaves Stephen with 620 rand. Now let's say that it cost him 4 gallons of fuel to do this hospital visit. So that would be a gallon of fuel is roughly 60 rand per gallon. So that would be 4 gallons at 240 rand when he's done. So that leaves Stephen with 380 rand. Now, my math's not correct. Please forgive me. I'm not a mathematician. Anyway, I believe it is. I double-checked it. Now, let's say after the hospital visit, Stephen and his disciple, his friend that he's discipling, they stop at Starbucks. Starbucks is everywhere. So let's say they stop at Starbucks for coffee, and they don't get a special coffee, which is outrageous, but they get just a regular coffee. If my wife was here, I'd preach against the special coffee because that's the only thing she'll drink. But nonetheless, they get coffee at Starbucks. So two large coffees at Starbucks in South Africa would be 42 rand times two. That would be 84 rand. This leaves Stephen with 296 rand or $21 when he's done with this visit and this discipling. So what did Stephen do? He visited someone from his church in the hospital. He bought lunch for himself and a friend he's discipling, and he bought coffee after the hospital visit for himself and the man he's training, and sat at Starbucks continuing to disciple his friend. Now, who had a part in this? Well, let's say one person at Harmony Baptist Church decided to give $10 a month. Another person gives $20 a month, and another person gives $15 a month. That does add up to $50, correct? You mathematicians? Okay, it does. All right? So, oh, I had it right before. See, I had the thing calculated correctly before, and then I redid it, and it's just terrible. Okay, so anyway, let's up that to 20 for the last one. All right? So, person number one bought lunch. Person number one buys lunch for them at McDonald's. Person number two paid for the coffee and whatever was left over. And person number three, who gave 20, not 15, paid for the fuel for the visit. And so you see, when we know the missionaries, we meet the missionaries, and we give, we're not just throwing money away. We're actually giving money. Now, we don't know how he's going to spend our money, but I'll guarantee you, I've been to enough mission fields. I've seen what they do in South Africa, and they constantly are trying to work with people and disciple people. So, and we don't know that we're going to support Brother Underwood. The church will have to vote on who we support. It's a church decision. What I'm saying is that your money, whatever you give, is not wasted. Your money is given to the Lord, and it actually will affect souls being saved. Imagine if the money you give to Faith Promise results in a sermon being preached and 10 or 20 people get saved. Do you think that fruit won't be on your account? Do you think God's not going to bless you for giving that? And so this is Faith Promise giving. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.